This is the homily for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2025, at St. Anselm's Abbey. Readings for the day's Mass for the second book of Kings, chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. The second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. The homilist was Father George Rumley.
Some of you may not want to hear this yet, but the holidays are quickly approaching. The post office has already started receiving letters to Santa Claus. Each year worldwide, Santa receives around 8 million wish lists. That's just the snail mail. It doesn't count messages online. By contrast, how many thank you letters and messages do you think he receives? The figures are hazy, but it seems that only a few thousand thank yous make it to Santa each year. That's a return of less than a tenth of 1%. I guess it's a good thing he doesn't base next year's nice list on who returns his gift-giving with thanksgiving. In the Gospel, only 1 in 10 return to thank Jesus, but the stakes are much higher than toys. The lepers have only one thing on their wish list, healing. And healing means several things besides physical health. Because lepers were outcasts, healing also means restoration to family, the ability to work again and socialize again and worship again in the community. The gift they're asking for is the gift of new life on every level. I suspect that in one way or another, either for ourselves or someone we love, we can relate to that kind of wish list. In a roundabout way, our Lord gives them exactly what they ask for. Possibly he sent them away to the priests just to give them the chance to return his gift-giving with thanksgiving. It seems that he expected it. But this curious detail should give us pause to consider, what's the big deal with giving thanks anyway? A gift is a gift. It used to be yours, and now it's mine. Is this little ritual just good but empty manners? Maybe it's something our parents made us do because their parents made them do it, and now we can inflict it on the next generation. Maybe it's self-interest. We want Santa to keep giving gifts, so we better say thank you. We assume we'd be like the one thankful leper in the story, but really, we might just as easily take the gift and run like the other nine, or be too self-absorbed to even notice the gift at all. And so, returning thanks can seem trite and forced and routine. It's helpful here to recall that gift-giving is woven into the very fabric of creation. It's fundamental to life. We just saw that the lepers were begging for the restoration of a whole life, and when Naaman, from the first reading, emerged from the cleansing waters, his skin is like a baby's. Somehow, gift-giving, even in the small ways, is related to new life. The simplest way to see how fundamental giving is to imagine new parents. The love of parents overflows into the gift of new life. When a mother holds her newborn for the first time, she's not only given birth, she's introducing him to the world. She's, in a sense, gifting the world to him and gifting him to the world. The baby's also a giver, even though he doesn't know it yet. He's just given his mother the gift of motherhood and his father the gift of fatherhood. Looking into his eyes, his parents see the gift of a legacy full of promise. And if they're wise, they give thanks. Both the parents and the child from the very beginning have given gifts to each other that could never be repaid or substituted. This is the beginning of thanks, recognizing the gift and what it means. In the Gospel, the turning point occurs when the grateful leper is the only one attentive enough to realize that he had been in fact healed. As for the newborn and our little thought experiment, it probably won't be until many years later, after the terrible twos and the rebellion of adolescence, that he really understands this reality and returns to give thanks. It may not happen until he has a child of his own, or tragically, it may not happen at all. A better example comes from Pope Leo, who turned 70 a few weeks ago and posted a big thank you to his parents and to God for his life on his Twitter account. The Pope reminds us that if all this can happen on the natural level, we must reflect on what happens with God. Our parents didn't act alone. It's God who allows us to exist at all. One of his greatest gifts is bestowing on us our own capacity to give and receive. As we already saw with the lepers, Christ is interested not only in giving life, but restoring it superabundantly, as he showed us on the cross. Thanksgiving is part of that superabundance. What then are we to conclude about returning thanks? G.K. Chesterton imparts some wisdom when he says that thanks are the highest form of thought, and gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Thanks are the highest form of thought, and gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Thanksgiving is the crowning, the completion, the perfection of giving. If I thank you, I'm amazed by your gift. I see you in your gift. I'm receiving you together with your gift, and we're both blessed. In fact, having received and been thankful, I'm now more inspired to give myself to others. That's what sincere thanksgiving does. Today, let's ask for the grace to be a little more observant about what gifts are given to us and who the givers are. They invite us to return thanks, to give ourselves in happiness doubled by wonder. The altar invites us to return to Jesus, like the one grateful leper, the only one who was told that his faith had saved him. After all, Eucharist means thanksgiving, and the final words of the Mass are thanks be to God. Are we aware that whatever our personal wish lists might be, the greatest gifts in the world are right here?